Please join me in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that we've sung. Oh God, how I pray that you would awaken and stir within us an enthusiasm for you that, Lord, just sets us on fire, like those young people we just heard about, who when sharing their faith were energized and got to witness, Lord, what we all long for, which is people coming to know Jesus. Thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for bringing us to this place. God, minister to us as only you can. By the power of your Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. My name is Jonas. I'm one of the pastors here. It's my delight to get to open God's word with you and to hear from his word this morning. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, we have some friends who are coming down the aisle, and I would just encourage you to raise your hand and get their attention, and please take a copy. We believe that this is the word of God spoken to us, for us, and that by reading the word, we encounter God himself. And that's what we want for you this morning, that you would experience God in a very meaningful way as you're here with us this morning. Now, as you think, we are in week four of a multi-part series in Romans chapter 12. And as I was reflecting on Romans, in the book of Romans, I was reminded that while a lot of us who are about the business of studying the scriptures look at Romans as this phenomenal theological treatise, and it is. I mean, it's thick at parts, and it's wonderful, and it's all telling. And if you've been reading, I would encourage you to do this at some point. Go back and read Romans 1 through 11, and it's dense in the sense that there's a lot there. It says a lot about who we are and who God is and what he's done. And then in Romans 12, it has a hinge point. It moves from this is what is to now this is who you need to be. There's a noticeable change there in Romans 12. So I was thinking, theological treatise, and then I remembered, but it's a missionary letter. And just like you got to hear a wonderful report from our friends in Toulouse, France, so too, Paul was on mission. And his mission was taking him westward, and he wrote this letter to strengthen the church in Rome and to invite them to partner with him in the expanding work of the gospel. And I think through that lens, it energizes us. And it gives us maybe even a more full sense of, guys, here is a man on mission who's inviting you to be on mission with him in the further expansion of the work of God. And that's what we want to do this morning. So if you have the text with you, if you borrowed one of our Bibles, please know it's a gift. If you want it, take it. We don't want anything in return. We'd love to hear your report as you read it. What does God do? But we don't want anything back for it. The page 975 or 976, we're going to move there, and we're going to read and listen to Romans chapter 12. Now, what we're going to do here in a few minutes is we're going to zoom in on just verse 11. And so before we zoom in, though, I want us to zoom out and hear that missionary voice invite us to be changed by Jesus Christ. He writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God help us to apply these words to our lives. Along with the Apostle Paul, brothers and sisters in Christ, I urge you this morning to respond to the vice grip of this world by not being conformed, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is where we started and where we'll continue to spend a lot of attention because it all hinges here. Paul's invitation and command in so many ways, and I've got to use my hands to talk about it because that's just how I live. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to discern the will of God. There is a pattern and a mold which the world is pressing in on you. And if you do nothing, you will look just like the mold is designed to make you look. But there's a great opportunity here. And we saw in previous messages how we can partner with the Holy Spirit, and through his help, we can press back. Week 2, we looked at the grace distributed to each of us so that we might think soberly about who we are. We recognize we're all part of one body, and these members all have value, and we've all received gifts of grace in our lives. I invited you at that time to move away from the deck of the pool, just observing, and to jump into the water with us and swim and to participate in the joy of being a part of the body of Christ. We want you using your gifts, and this morning you and I are cooled off because some people in this room used their gifts to make it cool in here. Around 7:30 as we got here, it was like a sauna in this room. And I praise God for people like Bruce and Wanda and Jason and Brandon and the others who in a flurry of activity knew exactly what to do because of how they've been gifted and trained, and they made this room comfortable. I just praise God for them. I praise God for the people who greeted you at the door on the way in, who said good morning and opened a door for you, for those who watch over the facilities and those who are leading groups. And the variety of gifts in this room is amazing. And we celebrate that. It's a gift of grace from God himself. Last week, we saw how the best measure of the outworking of our faith is our love for one another. You'll remember from the text, it says, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good." Love is the highest standard of whether or not we are being conformed or we are being transformed. We'll know it because of your love for others, as generated by the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. We also saw last week how in just 5 verses there were 13 commands. All 13 of those were continual present tense, and they hit you like this. They just come at you. Love must be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And it just goes on and on. And it's coming at you. And Paul, in so many ways, is trying to summarize from the Old Testament and from life wisdom that this is what it's going to look like. If you're not being conformed, you're being transformed, here's what you're going to look like. It's going to look like love. You're going to hate the evil and cling to the good. And what I want you to remember, more than anything else maybe as we look at the text today, is that these are a reflection of that conforming or transforming, and it's all because of the work of Jesus Christ. It's not because of your own activity or contribution. Yes, there is that, but it'll be because the Holy Spirit is stirring within you an eagerness to obey, and he is transforming you, and that's a beautiful thing. Now, to help us illustrate that this morning, I have a handout for everybody. Now, somebody thought maybe it was a security concern to see all these little canisters around the room. It's no security concern yet. They're glow sticks. And so if somebody would be so brave from each little section, if you'd just jump up and grab that bottle and take one and pass it on, here's what I know about our audience this morning. We have a lot of children with us. One of the people I forgot to recognize and thank are those who feel called to minister to children. They got the day off today. and we have all of our kids with us, and it's wonderful. And I think for some of you adults, you need to just take a glow stick for the kids, and then for the rest of us, we're just going to own that kid within us, okay? I think some of us are kids at heart, and we just want to fidget, and this is going to be good, but don't break it yet. I forgot to tell that to first hour, so as soon as they got it, man, they were on the road. But we're going to use that as a helpful illustration here in a minute. Another audience that I want to speak to, just real briefly, and I want to make sure that this is clear. There are people who are hearing my voice right now who have been injured in service to the body of Christ, by the body of Christ. Sometimes it happens willfully or intentionally, and it's just cruel. Sometimes it happens, and it's not intended, but it hurts really bad. And there are people who have served in ministry and who have been wounded, and I want to speak very thoughtfully. I want to speak with tenderness in my heart and in my eyes and strength in my voice, and to say to you, I want to remind you of the words of Jesus when he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find my burden light." I want that to be what you hear from me this morning, because we're going to step into some stuff that talks about living your faith out and being, you know, eager for God. But I think if I'm not careful, some of you might hear that, and it just adds rocks to the backpack of guilt you already feel. And what you need to hear are the very words of Christ saying, "Come to me." That's the heartbeat that I have in this message. So Romans chapter 12, we're going to zoom in now on verse 11. This is a fantastic verse to memorize, if you need a verse to memorize, because it's only got three little parts. Romans chapter 11, "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord." Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. We're going to work through each of those three parts here. And I just have to confess right away, when I read slothful, all I could think about was those animated characters in the cartoons today. It seems like the sloth is back. I mean, I don't know about you. We've got a couple at our house. They're really cool. They look really fun. But if you actually see a sloth, most of us don't want to be like those guys. They're kind of laggards and lazy, and I don't know how they live. Maybe the zookeepers in the room can come tell me later. But, you know, I mean, they're just kind of bums, and when you read around this verse, so one of the tools I use to help me study the scriptures is I look at other versions and try to see where they're different as an indicator of, hey, something's going on here. In this phrase, "don't be slothful in zeal," some of them translate it, "don't be lacking in diligence." Don't be lacking in diligence, or "do not lag in zeal." It kind of sounds like a sloth, right? They're always behind the game. They're moving slow. And then I loved how one guy just said, here's the most simple way, "don't be lazy, work hard." Now that should play well in our community, I think. But the big idea is that we don't shrink back. And so if you're following along in the outline that's in your bulletin, don't shrink back. Rather, stir up enthusiasm for Jesus. One of the images that came to mind as I thought about this was how I love to use cruise control at times. We were driving on Highway 10 last night, and we're coming back in, and there's a temptation when you're on cruise control to be on cruise control, and especially on some of those long, straight roads. And I think in so many ways, when we think about don't shrink back, cruise control can be an image in our head. Guys, this is not a cruise control. This is put your hands on the wheel, get your body engaged, get your mind engaged, pay attention to when you need to accelerate, when you need to slow down, when you need to pit stop, when you need to get in and get going. Don't put your faith on cruise control. Don't shrink back. Now, this idea of zeal, I've heard people talk about zealots and being zealous, but usually just around religious, you know, communities. And it was really fun to read around this and to see it's really just as simple as one who is eager or earnest, one who is diligent or willing. So I like to think about this idea. Don't shrink back. Be willing. Grow in your sense of eagerness in obedience to the Lord. Paul would write another letter to a different group in Colossians chapter 3. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord." Whatever you're doing, work at it as though you're working for the Lord, because brothers and sisters, if you're in Christ, you are working for the Lord. All of your life is a reflection of the Lord's work in your life. You're either being conformed or you're being transformed. Now, here's the beautiful thing. As I'm reading that, I don't know if you can picture this person, but I picture some of my friends here that can hear my voice. They don't shrink back from anything. I mean, they are zealous, eager people. They just get after it. And I praise God for people like you. Please be patient with the other parts of your body that aren't always like you. But I met one guy through the Global Leadership Network that is the personification of an eager person. I mean, this guy, slothful is the last thing anyone would ever say about this man. And I've been with him in different occasions and different environments, and I remember trying to walk with him one time and just keep up. The guy has enough energy for 10 of us. It's not fair. And so, trying to build a friendship and get to know him a little better, I'm like, so hey, what kind of coffee do you drink? Because what I know about coffee is it's like evangelical fuel for a lot of us, and with coffee, energy. No coffee, no energy. So I thought coffee was his, you know, his tool. He tells me in summary, coffee's allergic to me, and there's no way my wife would ever let me have it because I'd just be more energized. And really, the only way I'm this way is because God just made me that way, and I've learned to live with it and to lean in on it. And I just said, man, praise God for you. I was really hoping there was a trick. You know, if that's you, be thankful. And even for the most eager around us, I think there are moments, and I don't know of any in this man's life, but I think there are moments when our eagerness or our zeal can be misguided, or it can really start to wane or disappear. And a story that gives me hope with this reality, because I've had eager moments. You probably have too. Like the student that shares Christ and sees with such ease that somebody comes to know Jesus and they're just made alive, and then he goes back and wants to do it more. But because of how hard this world is, sometimes that eagerness wanes. And I find great hope in the story of Timothy and this same missionary Paul trying to encourage Timothy. I was with Craig this week, and we were visiting about this thought, and I said, you know that story where Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame your faith? You know, it's in 1 Timothy, right? And so I turned to 1 Timothy, and I can't find it, which gives me hope. It's actually in 2 Timothy. But what gives me hope is Paul had walked with Timothy long enough that he knew him, and in his first letter, this wasn't an issue. In the second letter, it was. Listen to what he says to him. Dear Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid. He gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Friends, there's probably some of you in this morning who have tried this before, and maybe it worked or maybe it didn't. Paul's issue with Timothy seems to be that, you know, for Timothy, maybe as he was sharing his faith, it wasn't going so well. For Timothy, as he was sharing his faith, they were reminding him, yeah, but your mentor's in jail for this. And Paul says, let that fan into flame your faith. Don't be embarrassed of it. This is your strength. Timothy needed to remember to not shrink back, but fan into flame the grace of God in his life. And that fire of faith must not have been burning hot, and that gives me hope. Because there are seasons in all of our lives where the fire seems to be not burning as hot as other seasons. And the text here says, don't shrink back. Now, I don't know about you, but in South Fargo on Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, if you drive around in some of these neighborhoods, the fire pits are out. 'Tis the season. And I don't know what it is about Fargo, but we love our fire pits. And I was driving around, and we were doing s'mores with a neighbor not too long ago. And it's just common sense anymore. But if you don't tend to that flame, if you don't provide air, heat, and fuel, that flame starts to wane. Maybe today your flame is dying out a little bit. And I want to join with Paul and say, hey, don't be conformed. Be transformed. Fan that thing back into flame. God has granted you grace. Don't shrink back. Back to verse 11. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Now, friends, I was reflecting this morning. I don't ever remember saying the word fervent except in church. We don't use that word a lot. And so in doing some work on that, it literally means to boil over, to start on fire, to be energized by something. So here's what I want to do with you. I just want to play along. Let's find your inner kid and pull out that glow stick. Okay, this is going to be fun. If you're following along in the outline, for those of you who just have to fill it in, here's what I want you to write down there. Maintain your glow, okay? That's what fervent in spirit could be. You know, it's this idea of, because watch what happens. This glow stick was formed according to a model and a mold. Somebody smarter than the glow stick designed it, and I can discover at least three parts. There's the outer tube, the inner tube with some sort of chemical in it, and there must be some other chemical, because what happens when you break it is a reaction starts to take over, and something changes. You know, as you start to mess with it, tinker with it, you begin to see a change. Now, some of you guys just really needed a fidget. You're welcome. Enjoy it. Romans 12:1, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It has this idea, be enthusiastic in the spirit here. Be boiled over. Acts 18 uses the same word to talk about that kind of enthusiasm you just heard about from France, of somebody who is so excited about Jesus. They went from being dead to now alive. But friends, it took an outside force to institute that, to get it started. And that's why I encourage you to go back and read Romans 1, especially Romans 1 through 6. Because what we know about humanity is that apart from a work of the Spirit of God in our lives, we are left in our sin and in our mess. Romans 1 says that the wrath of God is being poured out because he's letting us go our own way. But thanks be to God who didn't leave us in our sin. He sent his son Jesus to rescue us, and he offers us that path by grace through faith. If we will just believe, the new life of Jesus is made manifest in our lives, and something changes. And your heart is set ablaze. Now, I don't want to push this metaphor too far, okay? You're not going to find all your spiritual wisdom in a glow stick. Here in about 12 hours, it's going to be dead. But you are not if you are in Christ, okay? And then just for kicks, I did learn from one of my good friends beforehand, some of us can't put this on by ourselves, so we need others to do it. And that's a beautiful expression of serving one another in Christ this morning. So if you see somebody trying to do it and they can't, you help a brother out, okay? It's also interesting as you think about the use of glowing in today's world, there's a lot of buzz about this. I remember the first time I experienced somebody being told they glow was when my wife was pregnant, and somebody came over and was like, oh, you're glowing, you're pregnant, you're beautiful, all this kind of stuff. I've since learned, don't lead with that comment. Let them tell you they're pregnant before you offer that they're glowing in pregnancy. And you look at, you know, there's entire business is built around making sure your skin is glowing, your face is glowing, all this is glowing, glowing, glowing. I want to ruin that for you. I want the next time you hear glow for you to be reminded that I'm to glow for Jesus. I'm to have something changing about me. I've been set apart to shine in darkness. Because Jesus said as much. Listen to his words in Matthew 5. He says, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Friends, if you are in Christ, you have been set apart to shine his light into the darkness. That's what you're being called to. You're to shine bright. And I love that they turned down the lights a little bit, because what you'll notice is that when you're in the light, you don't see it as good, but when you're in the darkness, boy, does it shine. And if you're not seeing the light of Christ shine in your life the level you want, could I just invite you? One aspect of growing in that is to get out of the Christian bubble and spend some time with people who are living in darkness and allow Christ's light to radiate through you. It changes you. And I can't fully explain all that, but I understand it from experience and from this, and I want you to stir up your enthusiasm for Jesus. I don't want you to quit. I want you to be stirred in your enthusiasm for Jesus. Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. This third movement we see here has this idea of conducting yourself as one in total service to Christ. Remember where we started. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is an ongoing present tense reality that we're invited to. We are slaves to Christ. Our allegiance is to Him. And so everything that we do, whether it be in our eagerness or in our sense of glowing for Christ, it should be in alignment with Christ. Most of us have probably experienced seasons, or we know people who are kind of lagging in their eagerness for Jesus. And some of us have even experienced some people who, like, they didn't get the whole system, and they're so eager, they're not like a little candle burning in the dark, they're like a flamethrower burning everybody in the way. And both of those places can be really dangerous for the body of Christ. Sometimes in our enthusiasm, we hurt people. And Paul is calling us to align that back in service to the Lord, to line up with Him, and to not grow slothful, but to stir up our eagerness and to become that transformed nature that he heard from his Lord Jesus. Now, when I'm with couples and we do premarital counseling and this kind of thing, I often start with this concept of, friends, you and I, when we become followers of Jesus, His light is to be the light that we radiate. It's not just my light, it's His light through me. And we do it imperfectly, but it's beautiful when we see it. Many of you have probably gone on those moonlight walks, or you've been out sometime in the field, and you can see with incredible clarity just from the light of the moon. And after about age 7, we realize there's some big, dumb rock up in the sky that's a reflector for some amazing sun. Well, God's still in the business of using big, dumb rocks. Exhibit A. Right? I was trying to get a laugh. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But you get it, right? Like, we're reflectors of Christ. So sometimes it's not even going to be like, I have the energy. I don't have the energy, Lord, but you through me, I'll try it. And He shows up. Another significant reality for us, and I think this is very real for us, and especially for those of us who have been wounded or who are hurting or are sitting on the pool deck, disengaged from what's happening over here, is that for us to maintain that glow of our faith, we have to keep meeting together. We have to keep encouraging others. All of us have the capacity to do those two things. All of us have the capacity to say, hey, can I get together with you and just talk about my faith? I'm struggling. Or you might see the one who's struggling and say, can I get together with you and just be the presence of Christ to you? All of us have the potential to encourage one another. I mean, there's this entire commercial series where, you know, they talk about how this guy has a great day and they trace it all the way back because somebody smiled at him. You can be that. Hebrews 10 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened to us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The author of Hebrews sounds a lot like the author of Romans. This sacrificial system has been taken care of in Christ. You can run to God the Father because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And He says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Friends, our hope is not in us. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and He is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here's what I know. I know that our enemy would love for you to shrink back in your eagerness to obey Jesus. Our enemy would love for you to become more and more like this glow stick is going to be in about 10 to 12 hours. Our enemy would love for you to be pressed in by the vice grip of this world so that you're not being transformed by the work of the Spirit of God. And so our one thing for today that I hope stirs within you is to stir up your enthusiasm for Jesus. Don't quit. You are going to be tempted. If Paul was, if Timothy was, Jonas is going to be. You're going to be. And in those moments, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in prayer, and serve the Lord. Now, I asked some friends on Facebook how they maintain their sense of eagerness for Jesus. I was genuinely curious, and it was amazing some of the responses I got. On Friday, I was talking to one of my good friends, and he said, Jonas, I am so excited you're preaching about Romans 12, 11. For the last 14 months or so, my family has been praying that verse over us. We were in a season where we just felt like we weren't that eager or zealous, and so we've prayed this every week for more than a year, and it has changed our life. And I'm like, could you please be here on Sunday and preach this message? And he couldn't. But I loved hearing. I mean, here's a personal testimony by a guy in our church saying, man, it's true. If you lean on this, God will increase your sense of eagerness. And then I had fun with my boss who offered on Facebook that maybe this was my attempt to get everybody else to write my sermon. Well, that's a cool idea. Any of the good stuff came from others, the bad stuff I own, okay? But what I noticed and what we saw in some of these responses was so encouraging. Because people in our context, to maintain their eagerness for Christ, are doing these things. One of them wrote, I just keep my eyes on Jesus and try not to think so much about me. Well, that sounds a lot like Romans 12. And then one who's a good friend of mine, and I watched him go through incredible pain of losing a child, and he said, Jonas, in prayer, I remember and give thanks with gratitude for the grace I've received. It's all about God and what he's done. Another who's like the epitome of serving around here said, I just make sure that I say yes only to serving opportunities that I know that I'm gifted for and passionate about so I don't get burned out. And it helps me stay eager. I loved one of my other friends, and if you knew her, you could just hear it in her voice. She says, I get out of the Christian bubble as often as I can. She says, too much time with other people who are glowing, and it's not good for me. And I love that. She's shining her light into the dark places. Two of my local pastor friends, I'm so thankful for them sharing this. One said, Jonas, it's only through ruthless confession and self-examination that I'm able to stay pure before the Lord and eager for his work. I have to stay honest about who I am. And the other one said, I got to get out of the office and go be with people. You know, the world's pressing in on us, friends. And the invitation is by the power of the Holy Spirit to press back. I'm so thankful for those who chimed in because I was stirred. They stirred up my enthusiasm for Jesus. They reminded me, don't quit. Stir up that enthusiasm you have. Be eager for these things. And probably one of the most consistent themes that I'm seeing is to get out and share your faith with somebody who doesn't know. And that at some point has to be with words, but it often starts with deeds. It starts with just being Christ, but don't forget that it does include those words. You do need to speak truth in love. And it becomes a beautiful thing. Now, friends, I want to tinker just a little bit here as we end. That's always a dangerous statement as a preacher, in closing, but I mean it. I don't know what your plans are for Saturday, but I'd love for you to change them. We're wearing green t-shirts, and let me also add to this, you don't need to feel guilty if you can't or don't, okay? I'm so sick of church people feeling guilty for things they shouldn't feel guilty for. But if the Lord is calling you, and would you please follow that call, I would love for you to join us on Saturday. There's friends at the info desk. They'll tell you all about it. On Saturday, we're throwing a block party for some of our neighbors. Master's Heart Ministry has set it up every Tuesday this summer. They've been out there with green shirts in this neighborhood, being the hands and feet of Jesus. And on Saturday morning, we need 100 people to come help us make this just an awesome party. Samaritan's Feet is joining us. We're going to wash feet and put shoes on people. We need people to help organize the shoes, somebody to hand socks to the next guy, somebody to refill the water. We need people to help at the bouncy house to make sure it's just 10 kids and not 20 kids in there. You know, we need people to be around. We need folks who love to pray to come and pray with these friends, our neighbors. And I want you to have that experience. I want you to be stirred today and to be stirred through the week, that your enthusiasm would not die down like the fire, but would be fanned into flame. And in so many ways, it sounds just like our mission statement. Love God, love others, serve the world. And I want you to join us in that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for not leaving us alone. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege it is to be a part of the body of Christ. Help us, Lord, today, if we have grown honestly lazy in our faith, if we've grown wounded in our faith, Lord, would you pull us and help us to follow you in a fresh way today. God, we're not like those glow sticks. We don't just burn out like that. You're there for us, and you are with us. And by the power of your Spirit stirring within us, we trust you to fill our hearts again, that we might glow for you, that your light would radiate in us and through us, so that, God, this world would know that there is a God who loves them, and he has sent his son Jesus that we might be made right in relationship with him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.